relationships do not thrive. If you learn to dishonor your boss, you cannot have a good relationship with him. And eventually, you will not have a good relationship with him. If you dishonor your parents, you will not have good relationships with them. If you insult them, if you argue with them, I already taught you this. If you speak negatively, you don't show them love in a certain way, there is a very serious problem that you're going to have with them. So let honor be the lifeline of these relationships that you have. If you're a dishonorable wife to be, girlfriend to be, you are not going to have a good relationship. So you will learn to place honor on your relationships. Learn to place honor on your relationships. Learn to cherish your relationships. So today we're going to look at another vital aspect of walking in honor. And that's walking or honoring someone with your substance. We looked at honoring someone by paying attention to their words, honoring someone by acknowledging them, right? Yes, honoring someone by thinking properly of them. Relationship where there is substantial honor will outlast any kind of a relationship where there isn't. If you put two relationships down, let's say there are no elements of honor in both of them, but in one there is an element of substantial honor, I'm telling you, it will outlast the one that has no substantial honor. A relationship where a spouse, whatever, they learn to substantially prove their honor, It's going to outlast any kind of a relationship where you choose not to honor with anything that you have. You choose not to recognize. You choose not to love. In fact, love is very synonymous to honor. Yes, walking in love is very synonymous to walking in honor. Because somebody who loves you will present to you wonderful gifts. It's true. So you must start to learn how to do some of these things. You must be swift to buying something for somebody that communicates your honor to them. Every time you are with a girlfriend, you don't have money. Why don't you have money? If you don't have money, don't speak to anybody. Wait, when you have money to speak to somebody, then you can speak to them. Yeah? I'm not saying money where you can buy a Bugatti. If you don't have money to even buy Sobolo, 5 cities. You say, oh, I was just passing by Sobolo and I decided to buy you 5 cities, Sobolo. Is that you recognize, it's that you see, it's that I cherish you. Yeah. So gifts and pleasantries are a vital communication of how much more you esteem somebody and how much you care about them and how much you love them. So the guys, you must learn how to buy pleasant things. The ladies, you think I'll leave you out? You must also learn how to buy pleasant things. Yes, pleasant things. It might be small, but it might not be anything so expensive, but you have to learn how to do it. It's pleasant. It communicates a certain kind of an honor, a certain kind of a reverence, a certain kind of a love that you have in the relationship. I'm not talking about just, when I say relationship here, you shouldn't just, your mind shouldn't just go to only boyfriend, girlfriend. We have different types of relationships. There are spiritual relationships, there are natural relationships, there are marital relationships, there are office, whatever relation. All of these things are relationships. I'll tell you one thing. Oh, I now know why. One of the reasons why I realized that my boss loved me a lot, I think the Holy Spirit brought this to me. You see, everything doesn't happen for nothing. Oh, let me share with you. I started working there in October, November, December. Yeah, started working there. No, in September, October. Yes, yeah, so between September and October. And then in November was my boss's birthday. I remember so clearly. So I remember going to sleep. I didn't know that his birthday was in November. I didn't know. So I went to sleep. And while I was there, it wasn't a dream, it was a vision. Well, a dream is a vision of the night, but it wasn't a dream of the night, like a vision of the night. It was something I saw. I saw myself buying cake the next morning into his birthday. I saw myself buying cake and presenting it to him. So I was like, what does this mean? I was there and I saw the scene again. So I was then asking the Lord, am I supposed to buy cake? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you're just walking to work and you're holding cake. You say, who is it for? It's for your boss. So I despised it. Don't despise things when the Lord shows them to you. So I despised it. So the next morning, we were there, we're working. Around 10, somebody just hailed up in excitement. Hey, today is doctor's birthday. And I said, what did you say? Oh, today is his birthday. I said, my God, today is what? So I called somebody, sent the person to KFC or something, one of the pizza joints. You can ask. I was the one that contributed. I was the one that bought everything. I gave the person a 200 CD note. Go and buy me the big pizza. I don't know how much it was then. Buy me the big pizza and buy me Coke quickly. And then the guy amongst our mist went to buy the things. So right there in the afternoon, we're there. They brought the things. And we entered. Everybody was smiling at him. We're happy and all of that. So when it was almost it was around 12, 1, the thing came. Then I organized them and I said, no, let's just go with the cake and then sing for him and pray for him and just celebrate what God has done with him. I didn't know him for a long time, but I just knew that when your superior is celebrating their birthday, that is a wise time to at least to say thank you. I didn't know him for a long time. I just knew that that was the right thing to do. I just knew it somehow that was the right thing to do. So we bought it, we entered, we sang for him. And you know, he's been working there with all of those people, some of them for years, and nothing like that has ever happened. So I'm sure he caught the clue, like, this is coming from this guy. Because I was the one telling them, hey, it's time, let's go. You know, come inside, let's sing for boss, let's do that, let's do that. And while we're singing, I remember he'll look at me and he'd say, oh. And he was just looking at me and saying, oh, I believe something unique was planted in that experience. That was all. I probably wouldn't have remembered today, except I'm teaching you this. I maybe wouldn't have remembered, but I'm sure that something unique was planted in his heart that day. No wonder I could go for camps when they said, as for this place, when you come here, they don't allow you to go for whatever. They don't allow you to do this. They police your life. They do that. You are not, you can't do it. I could go out, go and buy musical instruments and come back. And everybody used to ask me, like, hey, what have you done to so and so? It's like, you have just come and it's like you are having the opportunities that other people have been with. Today I can tell you, it's just honor with substance. I believe that. I believe that. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 48. So Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 48. So you should learn. See, in the olden times, you know how the Queen of Sheba went to see King Solomon with precious ornaments and gifts? Yeah, precious ornaments and gifts. King Solomon did not need that. But it's a sign to say that whatever it is that you are doing, I recognize it. I can see it. I'm telling you, some of you, this is just the key you need into certain vital places that your life probably could have not have put you in there yourself, like your strength could not have put you in there. Yeah. So it's a vital part of honoring somebody. It's key, very key. So we're going to look at a story and then we could relate it to our relationship with our pastor and then with the brethren. So Jesus, in this story, is going to tell us something very interesting. In fact, I chose Luke's account because Luke's account, you know, is more expansive. It throws more light on the happening, right? So in John chapter 7, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. So she brings an alabaster box of ointment. That is substance. And she's going to do something interesting. 38, and stood behind him. And stood at his feet, behind him, weeping. Now that expression, stood at his feet there, would not mean she was standing. The writer of Luke, because you can stand at someone's feet, it means what Luke is trying to tell us here is that she was in that position of submission. So she was actually literally kneeling, right? You stand at someone's feet. Maybe the person should be like 20 feet taller. No, so that stood at his feet there would mean that she submitted herself to whatever it is that was happening to Jesus. So she was almost kneeling, is to stand at someone's feet. And she was not just standing at his feet, that's in a prostrate manner of submission or kneeling. She wept. So she's behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet. Now, many times we would not know the value of this expression until we go back into Jewish culture. Many of the times, Jewish cultures will communicate certain truths in actions. For example, whenever you get into someone's house, there's supposed to be water in front of the house so you can wash your feet. That's why I told you that the water that was used for Jesus' miracle was dish water, was feet water. So people wash their, like you fetch them and wash your feet. It's feet water. So there's water right in front of the house in Jewish culture. You wash your feet. And what the family literally tells you that means is that you are welcome to our home. Then when you get into the home, you are further anointed. Your head is anointed. And that will signify that your coming here brings us great joy. Right? So in Jewish culture, feet washing was key. It was a way to say, you are welcome. We cherish your presence. We've provided you that which you need to show that you are welcome into our home. Right? And then you get into the house and there's an anointing of your forehead with oil. And, you know, the ones whose head is anointed with oil is almost likened to the oil of gladness. Like, we're so joyed you're here. Then, don't worry about it. When you actually wash your feet, you're giving something to wipe it. Right? You're giving something to wipe. Then, you're invited into the home to sit. Right? So, you come in, right? There's water, there's dishwater. You wash your feet. You're giving a wipe. You wipe the feet. You get in, you're anointed with the oil of gladness to show we're joyed you're here. And yes, I forget this, but I remember now. You're kissed. Right? So you're kissed to show, you're welcome. So a kiss like you're welcome into the home. Now, this woman now goes in. Rather than pouring some flimsy dishwater, she says, no, substance is here. I'll go in for expensive ornament. I mean, expensive ointment, sorry. So she gets right in there, stood at his feet. I told you that position is kneeling, submissive, weeping, to show a sign of brokenness, then began to wash his feet with tears. How is that possible? To wash a man's feet with his tears or with your tears? Now that's quite extreme. When she was done washing his feet with her tears, she did wipe her with the hairs of her head. And many times in Jewish culture, the hairs of a woman will signify what a glory that she had. So they took pride in their hair. Again, it's not today. Say, Omo, you're going to give a downcut. Your glory is missing. Please, no, you're not a Jewish woman. We are Gentiles. Nobody's glory is missing because they took away their head. But then it was seen that your hair meant a lot as a woman. So her hair, which is her most priceless part, that reveals to her what a glory she has, she used that to wipe the feet and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. More commentary into this story in another version, you will find Judas saying that, can't we sell this ointment? That is... Which expensive ointment or perfume do we have today? Don't mention 212 men and all of those things. Those ones are not expensive. Mention one that's like maybe 6,000, or none of you maybe even know. If you know, type it for us. It's very expensive. You need to sell like your car tie to buy it. Nobody knows. Let's continue. So, Aventus, are you Hombre Nomad, Aventus Creed, Dio Savage. So, the woman, Creed Aventus, the woman actually buys an Erato or Hombre Nomad, Aventus Creed. Oh, okay, 6,200. Beautiful. You are saying, hey, 6,200. You're just going to pour 6,200 on some Jesus? We don't even know who he is. What's that? 6,000. We can use it to buy. Say, Ivan, how much did you say is that microphone? Oh, Pastor said, please, it's just 3,100. We can buy actually two of that. Can you imagine? I mean, that's nonsense. It's nonsense. No. But the woman has a heart. She has a heart. She has a right heart for that matter. She pours out an Hombre Nomad, pours out an Aventus Creed, pours out a Dio Sauvage, pours out a Creed Aventus or Erato. I don't know how much all of them are, but let's assume what you are saying is true. Let's assume. If you hear me and you say it's not true, then we are just assuming. Thank you. So we pour out all of those things. And then she uses her glorious part, which is her hair, to wipe. She anoints them with oil. Honoring with substance. Let me tell you something. I'm showing you how that we are going to be very great people in this life. I'm showing you how. There's not anybody that does not know how to honor that is truly great. There is not. Show me a man of God that's doing well, that's careless, loose, light. You don't see that. Now, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon, Peter, I have something to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. So we're going to see between the woman who was a sinner, right? So he said, she's a prostitute. You don't even know this guy, Mary Magdalene. Hey, this woman is she's a prostitute. But she knew how to honor. And Simon is saying, say on, I'm listening to you. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Yeah. Two debtors. One which owed 500, the other which owed 50. Tell me which one will love them both most. Simon answered, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Tell me, the one that he forgave most is the one that we're going to pay. That's going to be very much grateful. And that is the one that is going to show a lot of honor. So when people tell you that, why are you doing all of these things for Jesus? Why are you spending all this time praying? Why are you worried about this ministry? Look at them and tell them, look, you don't know me. please, you don't know me. I would have been maybe depressed. I would have been sad. I would have been troubled. I would have not known what to do with my life as I speak to you right now. I wouldn't have known. This Jesus was the one that saved me and is the one that has saved me. So I am going to show him a lot of honor. A lot of honor. I'm going to honor Jesus with my life. I was a fornicator, a chronic one. I was a growing up drunkard. I was very disrespectful. I could insult everybody in my home. What this Jesus has done for me is more than anything. I had four boyfriends and I was playing all of them perfectly. Four, one, two, three, four. I knew which one, what to say to what. Say, want to go out this Sunday. The next one say, I want to go out this Sunday. Oh, no. This Sunday is not there. The next Sunday is present. Yeah, the next time, then my mother said I should go to Ebri. Anyway, they are telling lies. Had four of them. Used to go to the club. Some of you listening to me, you are pretending like you used to go to club. Me, I used to go to club and perform. If you don't know, I'm telling you. I'm not going to hide it. There was a ninth club in Tamale. It was called Portobello Ninth Club. Portobello. You should know the name. Yeah, I wasn't doing anything stubborn. I was not going to do anything. I was not smoking. I was not drinking. But I used to go there to sing because a lot of people liked my singing. Yes. Yes, I used to go to Portobello Nightclub to go and sing. I was not going to dance or hold anybody's waist. But that one alone meant that I was on the way to becoming something. Kwame Eugene or something. Yeah, I was on the way. So if you know what Jesus has done for you, you serve him with your life. Some of you by now, you should have slept with four different boys. I'm telling you the gospel truth. Three of them would have been mistakes. Three of them, it would have been mistakes. Like they called you into the room. You didn't know that was right. And it happened. And they called you. Another person called you and said, come and buy me this. And it happened. And another person said, come and buy me this. And it happened. And the last one you said you were just going to, and it happened. Four. One, two, three, four. You have slept with four. I'm telling you the truth. See, believe what I'm telling you. And don't argue. Don't say, my parents were, very cautious. You would have done many bad things. Bad things. Some of you would have been expecting pornography. Pornography, you could have watched pornography from morning to evening. It'll start affecting your mind, affecting your whole nature, affecting your you don't know. You don't know. Expects. If you don't know, I'm telling, that's what the devil had planned for your life. So don't say that Jesus and you are doing a lot for him and he's making it. Hey, he's done a lot for you. Yeah. Some of you should have been trying to commit suicide at least three times now that it would have failed. Three times it would have failed. Yeah. Planning suicide. Some of you would have pierced your ears, pierced your nose, pierced your navel, pierced your head, pierced your ears all around. You should have been like that. Yeah. Even now that you are born again, you are thinking of piercing too. Then you were not born again. You'd have pierced all. So don't say that Jesus has not done anything for you. He has not done something for you. Hey, he has done a lot for you. Some of you would have been depressed heavily. I'm telling you, joy would have been very far from you. And guys, some of you would have had like this, your seventh girlfriend. You've slept with all of them. Seven, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. You are on your 8th one. Your house would have been a place where people just come in and then they just go inside and just come in and then they go inside. So, be the one that has owed 500 pence and give the requisite honor. Some of you would have been so full of fear by now. Oh, you would have been afraid of everything in life. Everything in life will scare you. You'll be afraid of everything in life. Like anything you are afraid, anything you are worried. And that's like the devil preparing you for death. Yeah, because when you are afraid, the BP will be shooting like that. Time you have 40 years, you're already having a BP of 160. And then, yeah. I don't know how I would have gone. I don't know how. I would have been a very... If I didn't follow, I would have been a very smart business, dubious sort of businessman. I believe that. Yeah. I would have known where money is and I would know how to make money. Yeah. I would have known. Because I know. I have done one or two things here and then some wrong things, right things together with the wrong things, right things together. You are making money. You think that's it? Be the one that owed 500 pence. Be that one. Verse 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou givest me no water. Simon, you are a dishonorable person. And Simon is that guy who feels like, I know Jesus. I've worked with him for 2.5 years now. In fact, he told us that he's going to die. We're actually anticipating his death right now. Oh, Jesus, 30 years I've been with him all this while. Simon, I came into your house. You didn't give me any water. Any water. It means that when people come into your house and you give them water, it means that you honor them. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, those who came to my house, I told them that I didn't have water. Oh, it's not, I didn't have water. But if you come to my house, you can drink water. You didn't give me water. You didn't say you want to drink water. I think those who came yesterday, I didn't give them water. But it wasn't intentional. But that is it. If you don't give somebody welcome, it means you don't honor them. Substantial. You didn't give me water. For my feet, you didn't even give me water. For drinking, you didn't give me. You didn't even clean my feet with tears. You didn't wipe them with the hairs of your head. Verse 45, you didn't give me any kiss. But this woman, since the time I came, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saying, Jesus, I've heard of your miracles. I've heard you are a great prophet of God. Then she anoints. Verse 46, he's still asking Peter all of this. My head with oil, thou did not anoint. You didn't tell me that you are happy. You just say, hey, Jesus, even give me a place. I had to sit down. I had to know in my head that I've come to Simon Peter's place. Let me sit down. My head with oil, thou did not anoint. But this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, there is a reward that comes with honoring substantially. So learn to recognize and don't just let your words follow. Let your words follow with substance. Some of you only when you have 5 9 shirts, you pick the nice ones and then you give the ugly ones to your teacher or your pastor or whatever. Just do, Pastor, please. But you have taken the nice ones. don't like to pleasantly do things. And from today, I'm saying this so that I keep track on anything. If you are giving money to your teacher, if you are giving something to, let me know. I'm saying this again. Let me be aware. Oh, Pastor, please, I went out and I'm thinking of buying this for my teacher. I just thought to let you be. Everybody from today, nothing should go directly to your teacher without letting me. And you, the teachers, when they bring it, ask them, did you tell Pastor that you were doing this for me? Yes. And honor with your substance. Honor your substance. See, I'm teaching you how to be great in life. Yeah, it works. So this thing can close many people's eyes to many wrong things that you do just because you honor. I'm telling you the truth. Let me not even go there. So you're going to learn how to honor someone with your substance. Some of you receive money and you don't even remember God. It's very wrong. You say, Lord, you gave me this money. You gave me the strength to do this. This one will go to you because I acknowledge you that you are God over everything that I have. Yes. Honor with your substance. Some of you must begin to go back home and buy things for your parents to tell them that you actually acknowledge and you cherish and you love and you adore and you honor them. Yes. Say, I honor you. Thank you for all the years of taking care of me. Don't just buy something and just put it down. No. I told you that you should honor and learn to honor in words. Don't just say, Father, please, thank you. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by thank you? Why are you saying thank you? Say everything outside. Remember things. Remember when you didn't have money and it feels like he didn't also have money, but he said, say those things that I remember when I called you. It looks like you didn't have money, but I remember that time in SS2 and I was sick and you came to the school that dawn or you came to school that evening. I remember another time when you bought this for me. I remember another this when you did that for me. I remember this when you did that for me. I can recollect this when you did that for me. And you say, hey, you remember all of this. Yes, Daddy, I remember. There was even a time you even did this to me. There was another time you said this to me. There was another time I remember I got you angry, but you were very patient with me and you did it. And you can honor while the substance is still there. You are pouring, you are showering the words. Yes. Don't just say thank you. Thank you for what? For what? Don't text someone and just say thank you. No, thank you for what? Be specific in your things. Learn to say thank you with substance. Yeah. I'm going to teach you how in a few minutes. I remember this. I remember that. I remember this. Oh, I remember that. I remember. And the brother said, hey, why? Yours own is plenty. Please allow me have a good memory. What somebody has done for me that deserves thank you to them. I'll show you a scripture. Anybody that cannot say thank you to man cannot truly say thank you to God. God whom you don't see, you want to say thank you to? When the man that did something for you, you can't say thank you to? I mean, come on. Come on. If you can't say thank you to a man, your thanks to God is very questionable. Is it not God that used him to meet me? Where is that God that used him to get you? Why don't you thank him for yielding to the move of God's spirit on the inside of him? Eh? Because if he didn't yield, you won't get whatever it is you thought you should get. You won't get it. If the person didn't yield, you won't get it. Forget it. You won't get it. And God might have to go and find somebody again. If the person says, no, I will not do, God has to find somebody again. Yeah. So thank people who God uses. Thank them. Listen to what I'm telling you. This wisdom, thank them. Let them give the thanks to God. You thank them and thank God. You can thank God, but thank them. Don't say, I've seen what you've done, but thank God. Not even thank God for you, but it's like, thank God. Like you don't matter. Thank God. You are an ungrateful person. When you say thank you. Thank you. I thank God. God used you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And watch them rather say, oh, let's give the thanks to God. Oh, we both thank God. Oh, we both thank. You want to thank God without thanking the man that God used. Even salvation, God doesn't come down to you to preach. If you don't know, I'm telling you, he doesn't come to you to preach. He will use a man to preach to you. Yes. And how you thank the man will show how much more you thank God. You can't receive a message without receiving the messenger. You can't do that. You're going to thank the person. And let the person say, thank God. You thank the person. And when you go by, you're saying, Lord, thank you for this person. Lord, thank you for what you've done. But thank the person. The person stand. Thank the person. I was telling me that, and I'm very... this person is very hurt. Her mother didn't look after her. This person is very hurt. Her father has money and she's not looking after her. Oh, my mother has money. How old are you? Are you not past 18? You should rather be thankful that they've looked after you up to 18. Don't look at your father's money or your mother's money and start to put your eyes on and say, yes, she was supposed to help me. She was supposed to help me. She didn't help me. Look at what they have done up till now. And say thank you for that. And forget about what they have not done. Look at what they've done. They've paid your school fees. Your school fees alone is a whole thing. They've paid. And you just allow one situation. Say this person is not. No, all the times that they help. What can't you see? Don't be an ungrateful person. So you're going to honor someone with substance. Learn to honor with substance. Learn to say thank you with substance. I'm going to teach you how to honor with substance. Number one, honor with your substance by presenting something physical, substantial, and usable. Honor with your substance by presenting something physical, substantial. It means it's worthy of value and usable. Present a usable gift to a person. Many gifts are unusable. Present a usable gift. You bought something and you didn't use it. It's lying there. Would you just pick it and say, oh, we want to honor you? No. Present something that is usable. Some chocolate in your house that you don't eat. It's like you don't, it's nice. It's not nice to eat, but it's nice to present. You know very well that it's not nice. Then you just pick it and you wrap it and you say, we can present it to you as an exotic sort of chocolate. What you realize is that what you can use, don't think somebody else can use it. Even God, he never wanted blemishing sheep. Yeah. Sheep that the leg is broken. The body is cut. The eyes are like this. That's what you pick and then you give to God. Your change from your offering. That's what you pick and you give to God. After you finish spending all the money, you pick that one. You say, oh God, take this one. Oh, your pastor. You say, oh, after you finish, you just do for. You say, oh, let's just do this. No, you're going to honor by presenting something that is usable. Substantial is physical. Let me place a balance also between this. Number two, you will also learn to honor with your substance by presenting something the person does not need and cannot really use. Now, does not need and cannot really use means that it is precious But you know very well that the person will not even need it, or the person, you don't even know what the person will use it for, but it is a precious ornament. Yeah. There are some gifts you only present for the sake of honor. Yeah. If I present something to, let's say, a very wealthy sort of person, I must just be very sensible to know that, hey, this thing you are giving, they will not use it for anything. That watch, they can buy 10 times of it. That car, they can buy. They already have it. The house, they have a better one. But you are just giving it because of the sake of honor you have for the person. So sometimes honor will be to present something valuable that the person does not need. It's not like the person needs it. But you do that because of its value that you need to let go. Do you think Jesus could drink ointment? He could not drink ointment. In fact, he was always walking. So it means that those ointments will not mean a lot to him. Because by the time he walks from Galilee to Samaria, the ointment, the dust on his feet has swelled. But she didn't care. She did that. She did that. She did that. So you're going to learn to give valuable things for the sake of honor only, only, only. You just honor, that's all. Yes, for the sake of honor. For the sake of honor. For the sake of honor. So learn to give valuable items that a person does not need. And you know very well that this thing, I don't know if this person can use it, but this thing is very valuable. Don't judge whether the person needs it or not. That is to the person. Yeah. So you will want to pay attention to some of these things. So it means that you can look at it and say, oh, this person doesn't need this, but I still do it. I remember doing a very huge frame for a man of God. I knew that he might not, though it's pleasant, but I don't know what he's going to do. But I still said, no, I have to do it. Wonderful frame. Wonderful frame. I don't know it, but I know that it's a good thing. So it's valuable to me. And it's expensive. So I just, Kofi bedroy, we mommy, why? Send our budget. Then you see the person on the picture and you are confused. Is this the picture? Is it the picture? Person's head is like a Pythagoras theorem. The head alone is like a Pythagoras theorem. And you see the person when, you know, there are some things like when you even see it, it's like, you're like, hey, please take this thing out of my sight. You can't say it, but you're like, please just fear God. Just, this is not me in the picture. I beg you, don't do this to me. Eh? Yes. Number three, you're going to honor with substance, right? By doing something expensive for the person you want to honor. Right? So you see that the woman with the alabaster box is doing something expensive. Do something costly and expensive for the person you honor. Yes. Many times, and let me tell you the truth. you have to go out your way many times. Yes, you have to go your way out. It's like, this thing is hard, but we have to do it. You have to go out of your way to do it. Yes. That is when it actually brings in the blessing of the person. It's like you went out of your way to do this. Yes, many times, just a few times, would you comfortably just sit and be able to play your way around it because you have everything sorted out? Yes. 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 On special occasions, don't treat these things lightly. On special occasions, be quick to be an honorable person. Yeah. On special occasions. Mother's Day. Father's Day. Auntie's Day. Uncle's Day. Teacher's Day. Girlfriend Day. Boyfriend Day. This one I'm speaking is spiritual. It's more spiritual, but because I'm saying the days, I have to add all of them. But it's very, what I'm speaking about, it's very spiritual. So you're going to learn how to respond. Birthdays. Outdo every time. And you must always be willing to outdo every time. It's like this time, we have to outdo this. Yes. You honor by doing something expensive for the person you want to honor. You know, many people wait for somebody to die before they show unbridled honor. Oh, he was a great, please. When he was there, you never did that. Yeah. One of the reasons why I never cried, like, nah, oh my goodness, oh, when my grandfather died, he loved me so much. I'm telling you a secret. I never had to worry to even go for his burial. I went for Reverend Onyeka's book. I went to present something, some sheets to the people who were doing the funeral. And I came back. Let me tell you a secret. I had already honored him when he was alive. So while other people were going around saying, hey, it's me, it's done. The honor I wanted to give, I've already given it to him. I'm telling you a secret. It's in my heart. I've never told anybody. So me not going for his funeral didn't mean anything. I'd already honored him before he was dead. I made sure I was sending him anything he wanted. He said, mm. Times I went home, I knew he loved coffee. I went to the shop myself. It's like I knew he was going. He was not sick. He was not. He was the same old person. He said that he was now sitting down. But I could sense that, no, this man is about going. I had dreams of it. He was going. So I started doing that with respect to him. Could go to the shop, go and buy coffee, buy drinks, buy champagne, buy this, buy that, buy this. And I go and give them to him. And you see that he's happy. And he likes a lot of sugar. But he never had diabetes. So I buy the sugar things. An old man that likes sugar. And I buy the sugar things and I go and I give it to him. He loves me. He'll sit me down. He'll be telling me stories. So when he died, I said, what I wanted, I've already made him happy. Yeah. There was always one thing he told me. I knew it would never come to pass. I knew that. He said, Pascal, do your PhD for me. I couldn't tell him that I was becoming a pastor. Maybe a pastor, I'll be a PhD in the pastor, but not. Because anytime he said, I said, okay, wow, I see. I'm looking into it. But I knew in my heart that I was not called to be a pastor, a PhD, or professor in pharmacy or professor. He loved those things. Very brilliant man. That was the only thing I remember that I know very well that I couldn't do for him. And I knew in my heart that I can't do for him. And I knew that it would never happen. Yes. I'm telling you a secret today. If I didn't tell you, you don't know. See, so I'm not a fool. I'm a very wise person. If you don't know, I'm telling you. God has blessed me with a lot of wisdom. There are many things that I do. I look at them and say, this thing is wisdom. Yeah. And it's by the grace of God, by God's Spirit Himself. I honored Him. When He died, I didn't cry. I didn't do it. I said, no, I've already finished. He was happy with me. I met Him on His dying bed. I was the only one. When He saw me, He smiled. When He saw me, He smiled. He was sick to His death. When He saw me, he gave a very sleepy, like a very sleeping smile. When He opened His eyes, he gave a sleepy smile. He slept again. I said, this man is happy with me. He's happy with me. So it's not about funeral. Somebody goes, hey, your funeral, he didn't come. I'm nice. Please, when you meet him, he'll tell you that this guy gave me a lot of attention while I was alive. So there are some people who are waiting for pastor to die at 86 before they can say, pastor was like this, or pastor was like, pastor did that, pastor, please, just honor me now. Don't wait till something happens. And you say, oh, pastor was a very, just do it right now. Do it. I can see. Right now, I can see. You can't do it when you can't see. When I'm not here, you can say, I'm not going anywhere, actually. But you don't need those things when the person is not around. He's not around. The pastor is the best. Do it right now. Do it right now. Don't wait for somebody to die. Your parents, listen to them right now. Yes, your parents, listen to them right now. Love them right now. Your brothers and sisters, help them right now. They are dead. They want to buy expensive coffin and pay whatever. It's already finished. The coffin is not a problem. We can even tie you in a white. They put you in the ground. You are gone. Do it right now. Don't wait till your father is dead before you say, and I have always wanted to tell you how I loved you. And say it right now. Call them right now. Tomorrow, hey, I love you. I cherish you. I just want you to know. I my God, I'm head over heels in love with you. Do it right now. When the lady gets married, you can't call her and tell her you love her again. She's gone for good. She's already married. Is now you can tell her you love her. If you don't tell her right now, she's gone. She's married. You are laughing. I'm teaching you all round honor. She's gone. So, Spirit of God told me to marry this girl, but somebody has taken her away. And I tell you, everybody, I told you this. Please, we are a family. We are growing. Look amongst us. Now the things I can say, they can make you fall down, but I'm very serious. Look amongst us and don't look too far away. Even if you are bringing someone, bring them amongst us. We are not willing to lose you. Not willing to lose. Even if you are bringing, force them in. I'm a very wise person. I'm not going to suffer by you. I've prayed over you for 7 years, 6 years, some of you 9 years, 8 digits. I'm going to another church. I'm going to my so all the gospel I taught you, you didn't become a minister. You are a waste of time. I should have known early. I shouldn't have listened to you. I shouldn't have been smart to you. Yeah, I shouldn't have smiled. So look around. The boys, look around. And pick somebody. And flow with them. And love them. And honor them. And have children together after marriage. Yes. Don't look too far. What your blessing is just by you, it comes to you. Don't look too far. It's just at the next person who is maybe the person has even commented right after you. If you're on level 100 or level 200 or level 300, I'm not talking to you. Face your books and study. Yeah. Face your books and study. Don't look too far. So honor. By presenting expensive things on special days.